Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
We are. It's the 4th of July has happened. It's come and gone, and we're still standing.
Hey, do you remember that guy reminded me of that intro. It was like, you know, that guy goes, "We're ready to rumble."
Get ready to rumble.
Have you ever seen an interview and how he came up with that?
No.
It's really fascinating, and now he's like known for it. So he'll be in a movie just to say those couple lines.
No, he trademarked it.
Yeah.
So like people have to pay him money to use it. Pretty funny.
That's awesome. Do you ever hear about the happy birthday trademark?
Yeah. Have you heard about where it landed?
Yeah.
Pretty great.
Yeah. So if you don't know, the happy birthday song was trademarked. And that's why a lot of times you go to like a chain restaurant and it's your birthday.
Was thought to be trademarked.
Well, at the time, yeah. So people would go, you know, if you went to on movies and stuff like that, you didn't see it sung very often. Or if you're at a large chain restaurant, they would have their own little happy birthday song and all that else. It's because it was Time Warner owned the trademark. And so anytime anyone violated the trademark, they would have to pay them
a licensing fee.
And then someone sued them. And they did some research on the song itself and said, "You've trademarked the wrong song."
Yeah.
And they won.
So there is no, copyright, I guess is the word.
Copyright, right.
There is no copyright for the Happy Birthday song. So for years and years and years, like movies would use other songs.
Yep.
And now, and my personal favorite version of it was, in order to have used the song, you have to use like three notes or something like that.
Yeah.
My personal favorite version was on on the show called 30 Rock, where they cut into a scene where there's a birthday party and everyone's wearing hats and there's balloons and they're all standing around a piano. Oh no, they're holding a cake and they cuts in right when they're like, "You." That's how they avoided playing.
It's almost like a social commentary too.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I love that. So I had this crazy client.
Yeah.
So we sold a really large apartment complex in Vegas underneath the Palm Casino there.
Okay.
And because of that, I got called by another guy in Vegas and says, "Hey, we have this really large piece of land on the strip. We would like to sell. We think you're the ones. So will you come out and meet with us?" So Clark and I drive all the way out there, and he gives us the address of where this place is. So we're on this dirt pad. You know, it's like, I don't know, 50 acres or whatever it was. 25 acres. And this guy shows up in a 1980s Rolls Royce.
That's the best kind of Rolls Royce.
And he pulls up.
If you have to pick a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. And he's like, "Hey, I'm really sorry. The chauffeur's off, but I came to pick you up." So then he takes us to his office, which is this converted, like, tilt up warehouse.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay. So he's telling us about it. So the reason he's selling the property is because he's this big Vegas mogul and he did textiles and made millions and millions of dollars. And he's like, really big into politics there as far as like a super funder and all this other stuff.
Okay.
And he's like, "And I've decided to go around the world on a peace mission." And
when was this?
This was a few years ago.
Okay.
And so he went around the world on a peace mission. He got big giant airplane and he wanted to write music. And one of the passions he had was he wrote a new birthday song.
Okay.
And we're like, and he was so passionate about it. So he takes us into his like recording studio / presentation thing.
Sure.
And he shows us this video of him and the happy birthday song that he came up with. And it was awful. And Clark and I are trying not to, like, you can't tell the guy it's awful.
Yeah, like, hey, your dream is wrong.
He was so excited about it. And, like, he has these, like, white flowing robes in the video, and he's singing the song. And then he had dubbed thousands of names. So you could literally, like, find it on YouTube, you know, happy birthday song, whatever the guy's name was, William. And then he would sing that song to you. With your name in
it. That sounds like a really, like a 4-star experience. Sell property? Did he sell
property? No, we didn't want his business. He was a kook. He was so crazy. He was like, a part of it is he had millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Maybe.
And he wasted it all away flying around in this peace mission, singing this happy birthday song at like the Taj Mahal and then like all these places and in these white flowing robes. And then he'd get all the kids.
That's an unusual story, my friend.
I know. It was weird. It was so weird.
I've encountered, in film, we were chasing around money for a while and meeting with some people that were, you know, thought to be wealthy and whatever. And I don't know if it's the combination of money plus arts that makes for crazy, or if money just eventually makes people crazy. But I met some really interesting characters when we were doing that.
Some of that stuff is really fun.
Weird cats.
Another time it gets creepy.
Yeah.
I had a really, really creepy one. I don't know how we got on this, but this guy had a bunch of properties, and he lives right off Wilshire Boulevard in West LA, right? And
yeah. So
he's like, okay, come meet me at my house, and we'll talk about it. So he had us do these evaluations. We take the evaluations to his house, and it's a really beautiful home from the outside, and you know, okay. It's probably $2-3 million house. And the guy opens the door, and we walk in, and like the minute he opens the door, there are stacks of magazines that are 5-6 feet high. So he takes a 4-foot hallway and it's now like a walkway, and there's stacks of magazines all the way through.
Oh, wow.
We go inside. There's no furniture. It's just stuff. It's not hoarder like hoarder trash. It's hoarder like some kind of collecting stuff.
I see.
And so then he's like, oh, come upstairs to the, you know, the sitting area. So we go up there sitting. He's got metal folding chairs for us to sit on. There's no furniture in the house.
Wow.
And we're like, this is weird. So we show him the presentation. We go through it. And then he says, okay, thanks. I appreciate that. Hey, I got one more thing to show you. It's in my bedroom. Come up to my bedroom.
And you were both there together.
Yeah. And,
that's good.
But dude, I was super creeped out already. I
mean, yeah,
the
yeah,
guy
yeah.
was creeping me out. He goes, no, I just have one. So I look over at Clark and he looks at me and we're like, okay. So we follow this guy up to his bedroom.
Yeah.
And he takes us out on the balcony, and he overlooks. So on Wilshire Boulevard and Westwood and Wilshire Boulevard, there's these high rises right in between his house, which is the street south of Wilshire, and Wilshire Boulevard. There's this no man's land behind these high rises. There's a cemetery.
Oh, I think you mentioned this before.
Marilyn Monroe is buried in there. And he's like,
oh, okay.
And he was like super excited that he had like this balcony view over Marilyn Monroe's crypt. It was freaking weird. Fast forward 5 or 6 years, I had one of my, you know, one of those creepy guys we didn't want to do business with. So
yeah.
We kind of walked away from it. But when we get these guys that we train, they'll, you know, they'll go back through the list and they start to call people. And they end up setting up another meeting. And they're like, oh, I forgot about the guy. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be in Westwood at this time, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I'll meet you there. So I go and I pull up. I'm like, oh, it's this guy.
You're like, hello.
I go back in. It was the same routine.
Same routine?
The whole same thing. But this time I wasn't scared because I knew what was going to happen.
So I had a buddy who who's an appraiser of homes. And he has some really, really crazy experiences.
Like, oh, I bet.
Just going on people's property, like there's a bunch of people that just get super stressed out. Like, what are you looking at? Like, I'm an appraiser. I'm looking at your, like, what are you doing over there? Like, I'm measuring the, you know what I mean? Like, all the things that you have to do. And then they want to control. Like, I get it too, by the way, because there's often a lot riding on a loan, right? It's like,
right.
I need to get my next house, or I need to pay for a kid's college or whatever it is. Like, but, or whatever the... But anyway, people get super intense and they get up in his business.
Oh, I bet.
But he also encounters like people that don't normally let you inside their home ever, right? So he has to go in there sometimes.
Oh.
So like one home that he talks about a lot was there was a hoarder, and this person was hoarding like old computers. Like the old, remember the box, like
yeah.
the box PC computers?
Yeah.
Like everywhere. His whole house and whole yard was covered in stacks of computers. Just stacks and stacks and stacks of computers.
There's something that breaks my heart about that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
no, because, well, I mean, it's a mental illness, right? And what's interesting to me, too, is that I feel like it's a mental illness where they're pretty comfortable with their mental illness. Like, they're not ashamed of their stacks of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't think that they see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you ever watch that show, Hoarders?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like,
no, I never do.
You never watched it?
No, I never have. But what I have done is I've gone and done volunteer moves for people in our faith. And 1 out of 10 is some crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah, I remember one, these poor people had to get out like right away and something happened. So they weren't able to finish the packing. And like the entire congregation left church on Sunday. And we went over there and just helped. It was actually a really cool, uplifting experience, but man, it was tough. It was a lot of stuff.
Anyway, so we had one recently where I was with some young men from church and we were helping this person move, and it was a mess. It was not good.
We used to have rules.
It was a bad situation.
We're like, we won't move plastic bags. Don't pack in plastic bags. We'll help you get boxes. Put them in boxes. But when you're looking for just brute strength to come move you, these guys are not professional movers. So if you've got a 17-year-old kid, you don't want him accidentally picking up that bag. It's too hot outside, makes a giant hole, and now everything's everywhere.
Yeah, man, okay. Yeah, so we talked to the kids on the way out of that one, though, and I was like, this is something you can remember, guys. I'm like, this is something you should think about when you're choosing who you marry. I'm like, the question you should ask yourself is, what do I want my place to look like on the day that we're going to move?
When we were kids.
And choose accordingly.
When I was a teenager, there was, four boys. We're all teenagers, right? So
I'm also mindful, for those of you listening out there, that having people help you move is one of the most personal, like, I don't make it a practice to talk smack about, because every home, like when you move the couch, you don't know what's behind it. I'm not suggesting regular. I'm saying that there's every once in a while we have an experience that transcends regular and gets into the, is this safe, kind of category. And we had one of those. So anyway.
It reminds me, my wife one time.
It was broken glass. I mean,
and sometimes money. So yeah. Tips. my wife, speaking of funny like couches, my wife calls me up and she goes, I got rid of the couch today. I'm like, what? So one of my sons, when he was a baby, like he was still in diapers, and he was our painter. He painted with mayonnaise, and this time he painted the couch with poop.
With poop, as you do.
And my wife's like, oh no. She's like, she just got it out of the house. She just pushed it out of the house. And she goes, like, that's the
couch
end of that.
Is gone.
Yeah, it's gone. She went and bought a new couch. And it's not like we could afford
this
it.
This is the final indignity.
Yeah, it wasn't like we could afford it.
It's not like, we had couch money. Let's do it.
No, she was just like, I'm done. She goes, this is, I'll never be able to sit on this couch thinking that it's not got poop on it. So,
hey, speaking of saving money, I'm pretty stoked about this. So I had this list of nickel and dime stuff that I need to do this summer. And each item was like, yeah, okay. But they all add up to a lot. It's like, oh, I need brakes for this car. I need tires for that car.
Oh, yeah.
I need, like, our AC has gone out upstairs. And just all these things. And if I add them all up, it's actually a pretty serious number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, But yesterday I finally had time post 4th of July break and energy to be like, all right, I'm going to go figure out what's going on with the AC and see if I actually have to get somebody. So I go out there and one of the two ACs, it's on and it's making a noise, but the fan isn't spinning. And I put my hand over the top and I realized that there is heat coming out of it. And that's the heat, that's the heat. Yeah. That's where the heat goes, right? That's what the fan's for, is to pull the heat out and cool the stuff and send it back through. So then I'm like, watch a YouTube video, and I'm like, oh, I think I know what I need. I need this, that, or the other thing. So I go to my garage, and I get a long, skinny stick, and I go back out there, and I kind of push the blade with the stick, and it just roars to life.
yes!
And then I'm like, wait a minute. So then I turn it off and turn it back on, and it's still working, and I'm like, boom, poked it with a stick, baby. One of the things came off the list. Feeling good.
I had that with a starter motor in high school. Like, it wasn't working. And like, you had to carry a stick, and when it wouldn't like engage, you just, boom, you hit the thing and it goes.
So it needs some oil.
Good amount of stick. It's a good amount of stick work. I'm impressed with your stick.
But feeling great about the stick work. If anyone needs me to poke something with a stick, I have the stick and I'm willing to travel. So,
hey, so we got a lot of response on our Apple Vision Pro episode.
Primarily from Apple. Look, I'm looking to lose and win on this bet.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. You're going to lose big.
I'm going to lose. Okay, so.
We actually have it's a weird bet.
What was the bet? Was it 15 or 20?
Okay, no, yours is 20. It will not sell more than 20,000. But we do need to clarify because so one of the persons that was like giving me information, I'm like, I can't remember if this was like ever or it was in the first year. And I think you said ever, but I think you should amend it to the first year.
Are you willing to let me amend it?
Yeah, you can amend it because there's no way you're
So my bet is that they won't sell more than 20,000 units in the first year.
You know my evidence is that they will? This is going to be – you'll understand this.
Yeah.
You remember when –
I want to stipulate, and I might lose that bet just based on the numbers of orders that Apple is placing for manufacturing. I might. But – I furthered my bet and said, regardless of the outcome of that particular bet, this will not take off. That's my and I stand by that.
So here's my evidence that they will sell more. Whether it will take off or not, different debate. But just on the numbers side, do you remember when HD TVs came out and how much they cost?
HD, yes.
Do you remember?
Yes.
How much was like a 42, 50 inch? Let's do 50 inches. Seems
it
like
was
a,
like 10 grand. I mean, it's like a big deal. Yeah.
It was $10,000 for a TV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People bought those.
No, they used to brag about it. Like in the movie Elf, this guy brags about it. He's like, I got 40 inch plasmas in every room in the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's bragging about TVs.
And guess what? Which are like there's more than 20,000 of those people. So I'm positive that you're going to lose that part of it.
Fine.
Even though that's just going to probably end us up at In-N-Out. But my million unit bet, that one might be I for sure it's going to sell more than a million in its lifetime, but
oh you're wrong.
No, it will. So here's the deal.
you're wrong, you
and several other people have sent me some tech news, and
okay.
The tech news is Apple is cutting Apple Vision Pro product targets for the first year. Okay,
yes.
So they originally were going to order a million units from the manufacturer.
Their goal was to sell through a million units.
No, their goal was to order from that. If you read those tech articles, and that's why I think people are interpreting this wrong. They don't, because of supply chains and the complexity to actually build them, they've redone their production. This is not a prediction. It's a production. And so this may end up causing a huge demand problem, like in the first iPhone iterations where you couldn't get an iPhone for several weeks.
You still believe?
For sure is happening.
You still believe?
That being said, I'm not going to
Think it's adorable. You're adorable. The other article that I saw said they've revised down their goal from a million to half a million. And oh, by the way, we're only going to start production on 150,000.
Yeah, it's going to be slow.
150,000.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means that they're not going to sell 20,000 units.
Oh, they're going to sell 20,000.
No, it means they can afford to lose. They can afford to lose 150,000 units worth of money. No one wants to lose 500,000 units worth of money.
So within the first year, it's 20,000. And so my bet is all time that it will sell more than a million.
Yeah.
You're like, all time, no. And then, but prediction is that it will never take off. And I actually
think it will never take off.
It's not my kind of thing. It's not my cup of tea. But here's the thing.
People don't want to put a giant screen on their heads. They don't. Even though it's cool, they don't want it. Tony Stark glasses could take off. Everything else, I don't believe it'll take off.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Stark glasses are not far behind. The question is, in fact,
they're 10 years behind minimum.
Oh, for sure. But do you remember, I sent you that one YouTube of the guy that invented, what's the famous VR set right now? What's that one called that Facebook bought?
Oculus.
Oculus. The guy that invented Oculus.
Palmer Luckey. What? Greatest name ever.
Dude, really? And did you watch that interview?
I sure did.
Dude, that guy is fascinating.
He's super smart. I didn't realize that his second endeavor had become a billion-dollar endeavor.
Already?
I didn't realize it. So he's doing defense.
But he's doing it patriotically.
He's doing defense. He's making new weapons. What does he make? Drones? I can't remember what he makes.
So he has several weapons. One of them's like these drones that can just kind of deploy anywhere and do all this stuff. But he's a fascinating guy.
No,
he's,
people are like...
He's like a Tony Stark.
You're like Tony Stark. And he corrects them. He's like, except that Tony Stark left weapons, and I'm not planning to leave weapons.
Yeah. So he's into weapons because he felt like that America was falling behind in the technological race to have the best weaponry for its military.
Yeah.
And so he is now kind of taking this on. He has a bunch of autonomous things that happen. He has all these helicopter tech. He's got all this stuff. But he believes that VR is the next frontier.
All right. I have a fun thing.
VR, AR.
I have a fun thing to share.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so... You remember that I used to work in film distribution.
I do.
And that one of my main guys in film distribution stayed in film distribution after I left. And he's kind of known as the independent faith-based film guy. Well, anyway, he recently left his independence and joined Angel Studios to become their in-house.
Oh, good.
Their in-house film guy. Well,
I'm super excited. They're building up so much.
Well, guess what? So they already early in the year, they already released the religious film His Only Son, and they did $12 million in the box office.
Right.
Which is really good for an independent faith-based film. Really good. Like, holy, that's really good.
Right.
Okay. So then they immediately turned around and they acquired this other film called Sound of Freedom. And Sound of Freedom it's made by movie stars like Mel Gibson actually helped edit the film. Like, it's made by a bunch of Christian movie stars, and it's about Tim Ballard, this guy who goes around trying to rescue.
My daughter's going to watch it Friday.
Well, guess what? So then they did a pre-sale. So they acquired this movie. They did a huge conservative media tour and did a pre-sale campaign and released it on the 4th of July. Okay. They were number one in the nation on the 4th of July with $14 million.
Oh, yes.
Dude. So shout out to Angel Studios for being smart enough to get Brandon Purdy on the team. Shout out to Brandon Purdy for doing in one day on the 4th of July, beating Indiana Jones, a Pixar movie, a Spider-Man movie, and many, many others on the 4th of July. With $14 million.
Wow. Okay, I gotta go see this. Where can we see it down here?
Yeah.
Where?
It's booked everywhere. Dude, when you're the number one movie in the nation, they're in 2,600 screens. So I think they're in both of our screens in town.
Oh, I'm going.
Maybe all three.
Well, and you know, Tim Ballard's been to our area many times. He has his sister-in-law lives in our congregation. He's a fascinating guy.
Yeah, some people have become Tim Ballard haters because they're like, oh, he has a fancy truck or whatever like that. And to you, I say, guys, find something else. Just go find someone else to be sad about. If you want to hate on somebody for being boisterous and successful, or you don't like a guy because he's too much of a bro, like, you know what? Maybe don't pick the guy that's saving kids from sex slavery. You know, that's where I'm at. So, dude, huge win for faith-based film. Huge win for Angel Studios, a second in a row. Huge win for Brandon Purdy. Like, congratulations, guys. That's a huge.
I am so happy. And Angel Studios, the same ones that don't they also produce The Chosen?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
So they're on a roll.
In fact, there's a couple guys from your congregation, the animators, that went over to Angel Studios.
There are. Yeah, they have a cartoon series. Hey, another thing that's really cool about Angel Studios, they are producing a 3D animated David and Goliath story that's like a super high quality. It's like folks from Warner Brothers and former, like, anyway, super high quality. And that's coming out next spring. And conservative, like enthusiast Tim Tebow got involved, and he's going to be like promoting it in churches and stuff like that. Like, I think they have a legitimate shot.
I don't want to call them conservative. I want to call them religious.
Okay. Faith-based.
Yeah.
Right?
Faith-based.
So faith-based folks, they have a legitimate shot next year. If that movie is any good, based on what they're doing with movies that are pretty good to very good. If that movie is any good and it's for families and it's 3D animated, and they promote it half as well as they promoted this, they legitimately might do, they could do $100 million, like with a movie.
I hope so. I want them to knock off some of these animated.
I mean, it would just be such a game changer, though.
I love it.
So anyway, Angel Studios, man, on a roll. Good job, guys.
I'm super happy for them because we talked about this. I'm a fan of The Chosen. It is a great, for me, right? And the way my brain works and me wanting to learn about Jesus Christ. And I, you know, look, if all of the information you ever get about Jesus Christ is from that movie, well, you might be missing some cool details because the book is better.
Yeah. I read the book. It was better, right?
Surprisingly. But is the book is heavy and it does take time, and you do have to study it to get something good out of it. And I really just feel like if you're making people turn to Jesus more, good for you.
Yeah, man. That's really exciting.
That's freaking awesome. I love it. I'm a big fan. Fireworks story.
Oh, fireworks story.
So, okay, Utah has the greatest fireworks, like, open policy that there is. It's awesome. They have basically, they have two fireworks holidays, the 4th okay. of July and the 24th of July.
Right.
24th of July is what they call, they used to call it Pioneer Days. Now they call it, like, the Days of 47, which is 1847 when the Mormons came in as pioneers into Utah.
Yeah.
And so they celebrate it every year. It's a big deal. So they sell fireworks. In fact, your son even had a fireworks stand.
Yeah, a couple years ago he had a fireworks stand. He actually sold them.
And so I showed up at his stand and buy stuff. And so last year we showed up on the very last day they were allowed to sell fireworks. And I think it was like the 25th of July. And they're trying to sell it all out. So I buy a bunch of stuff. And what I bought is some of those boxes, like they're, you know, 50 shots or whatever, 25 shots inside one box. And so you light one fuse and it shoots these things off. And it's not just like sparklers. It's like aerials. And so I bought two of these, and I bring them home because we didn't get a chance to shoot them off. And when I brought them home, I put them on top of on a shelf in the garage. And my son, like, anytime he's off of school, he thinks it's a firework time, right? So he's like, "We're gonna shoot these off, Dad. We're gonna shoot these off." So finally, he's like, he's all over me. It's 4th of July. We gotta shoot these off. Now this is illegal in California, right? You are not allowed to do this.
Right, 100%.
However. Yeah. If you ever see videos of Los Angeles Valley during the 4th of July evening, there are fireworks everywhere.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun.
It is fun. Especially the year the governor said no fireworks.
I'm like, no, it's not that I love fires. It's just that it's just kind of a, hey, man, we're celebrating when America decided to be free. And we're not going to be not celebrating that America decided to be free. It's just kind of a fun reinforcement of the idea of screw the king.
Exactly. We don't care. Screw the king. So if you're the governor, screw the governor. So I get these things and he's like, we got to light these off and da-da. So we go to the regular fireworks show. Now it's about 9:30. I've been trying to figure out all day long where we're going to set these off. His friend, my son's little friend, he's like, where are we going to set these off? And then his dad is with me as well. And so we're like, oh, where are we going to set? Now his dad is, you know, he's probably a little bit more conservative than I am as far as, you know, screw the government kind of thing.
Right, right.
And so he's like, well, I don't know. And he goes, my kids did let it off at the elementary school, so maybe we'll go over there.
Okay.
And so we went over to the elementary school and we're like, it's one of all of the elementary schools in California now, because of shootings and stuff, they have like lockdowns. So you can't really get into the...
You can't just walk in like you used to be able to.
You have to hop the fence and open the door, right? So, but then you're trapped in there. If a cop does come, you're like inside the ground.
You're inside the gate. All you have to do is stay.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like the greatest idea. So we're like, oh, we'll just do it in that staff parking lot, which is not within the gate area. So we go over there, we drive by, and it looks, I don't know. You know, this HOA over here is pretty militant.
They clamp down.
Yeah, so maybe we'll, you know, we've seen people shoot fireworks off over in this other neighborhood. Maybe we'll just kind of join up with them. So we drive over to another neighborhood, and nobody's there this year, which was weird. They're always there. So then we go back. Well, let's just do it in the parking lot. So we're driving back on the way to the parking lot. Right before we get to the parking lot where we're going to do it, there's a guy out in the middle of an intersection in this neighborhood shooting off aerials.
Okay.
So we're like, this is our place.
We found him. We found our people.
Right. So we jump out. I go and I open my trunk. I pull out all of our big boxes and we're going over there. I'm like, hey, do you mind if we join you? And I look back and I look at my friend, you know, the one's not so much of the screw the government. And he's like, I'll stay in the car. So his son, my son, and me, we go
over. I'll stay in the car.
And we shoot these things off, and they're so much bigger than we expected.
Oh, dude, the stuff you can buy in Utah is insane. Like, for like $80, I'm buying stuff that I would expect at a fireworks show. Like, crazy.
Dude, it was so loud and huge. I was like, there's no way we weren't going to get caught, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this guy, he had a few aerials. Like, he was lighting off, but nothing like ours.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, this was awesome. Thanks for coming. I'm like, do you do this every year? And he goes, I do it every year. Come next year. I'm like, this guy was 12 beers into a case. I'm like, he was off.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm like, do the cops ever show up? He goes, I always wait and they never come. So we shoot the first box off, and it's just huge, really loud, and like lights up the entire sky. And then we go to shoot the other box off. We shoot that one off, and this one I at least took the presence of mind. I got to video this, so I videotaped that one.
Yeah.
I turn around to go back to the car, and my friend, who's like, you know, a little bit more conservative, sitting in he's now got out of the car. He has eyes big as saucers and a grin from ear to ear, and he goes, "That was so good."
Nice.
And then we're like, "Let's get out of here." Like, Jenna, well, I looked at the guy. "You want us to take our stuff?" He goes, "I got it, man." He fist bumped me. I'm like, "Well, tell me if the cops come by." And he's like, "Next year, bring more." My favorite part was looking back at my friend, who's just, you know, you would consider him to be pretty straight laced, you know, but he was like, "That was awesome."
No, because dude, those fireworks are good. I bought some for my son's stand when he did it, and we drove up to where they were legal to shoot off in Utah, and we sat in a cul-de-sac and we fired them off. And I didn't know how much better it, because when you and I were in college up there, it wasn't legal to do fireworks like this.
No, we'd go up to Wyoming, to Eastman, or East. What's
yeah,
up,
but even little, then we were buying like
Eastman. What is that?
Little bottle rockets and Roman candles and not cool stuff.
Yeah.
But they're doing stuff now that like they're rated for like, this one goes 200 feet in the air, this one goes 100 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And like, and so I'm like, oh, 100 feet in the air, that must mean it's smaller fireworks. That's the assumption, right? But it turns out, no, it just blows up closer.
Yeah.
Like, it's serious. Like, I lit stuff off, and I couldn't believe how impressive it was.
Yeah, it was
I couldn't
so
believe
fun.
It. And so, yeah, we had some great videos of that. That's
was
a good
so
time.
So much fun. So then afterwards, we were just laughing in that giggling stage, and my son's just all pumped up. He goes, "Next year, we got to get more." And he's going up to Utah next week. And he goes, "Dad, I'm going to use the credit card and buy a bunch of stuff." And I'm like, "All right, buddy." So then I tell him your story about when you guys went to the sand dunes and had like wars.
Oh, yeah.
Fireworks.
We used to have wars, firework wars.
And he's like, "What? I don't understand how this works, Dad." And I'm like, "Well, you know, there's these things called Roman candles, and you use them kind of like you shoot them at each other. And you're not, it's really kind of a dumb idea, but you
yeah,
know,
it's not safe at all."
Then we get a video from my daughter. It's like, "Hey, this is what we did tonight." And they had Roman candle wars in the middle of a normal street in Utah. These boys
I love
are running
it.
Around.
America.
It looked like
Harry alive
Potter,
and well.
Voldemort, like running around, and it was hilarious. So now my son is sitting, now he's obsessed with the idea of getting Roman candles and having a war with his cousins. Or his brother when he comes home, I suppose.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Dude, that's pretty great, man.
This is my favorite. I think this is my son always says this is his favorite holiday, and it is mine too. I just love. Have you ever done the parade down here?
I've been to the parade only one time, but it's beautiful.
It's silliness.
No, it's a small town parade. You have like fire engines and big trucks and but it's beautiful.
Yeah. My son was like, "I don't get it. Why did the Democrats, they have like the Democratic National Committee or whatever, local chapter was marching. And so are the Republicans.
That
and
makes
he's
sense.
Like, I don't get it. Why should Democrats be, you got to get it to understand. My son is 12 years old.
Yeah.
And he has three main hobbies in the world. Baseball.
Yeah.
Politics.
Yeah.
And God. Like, these are his hobbies.
Wow.
And it's probably in that order. And, like, when he doesn't do stuff, he's, like, watching political videos on he's 12. I didn't get into politics until I was 16, which is pretty young.
Yeah.
But 12 years old, like, he does not get it. He's a different kid.
Yeah.
So he's
you'll have to run to the other side of the boat a little bit with him to make sure he doesn't get too.
Exactly. And that's what I said. Well, son, that's why America's great, is because you can have two different people that disagree, and you can have two parties that kind of war with each other over who's going to rule.
Right.
And, you know, and then he's like, "Well, they had a giant pride float." And he's like, "Why was that even in there?" I'm like, same reason, bud. The freedom of speech is for everybody. I'm like, "Look, you may not agree with it, and that's okay. You don't have to." But the fact that they get to be there and they had an atheist float. That also bothered him.
That's funny.
It was.
I'm sorry. That's funny.
It was in the religious.
It's just funny because
they were in the religious section.
Of course
they
were.
He says, "Keep religion free, including atheism."
Sure.
Which actually is so counterintuitive.
I totally understand people that choose to be atheists, but when you choose to proselytize for atheism, then you're a special kind of nonsense person because, like, that doesn't make sense. Like,
at all.
If you find out you don't believe in God, there's no need to recruit because if you don't believe, then there's no point.
Yeah, it's not a tenable.
That's weird, man.
It's not a logical line of thinking. You can be an agnostic and be logical. I don't know if there's a God, but you cannot be an atheist and still claim that you're science-based logic, because that you're asking to believe in also something
you're proving a negative.
Yeah,
right.
you can't prove God exists. Well, you can't prove he doesn't exist. It's a never-ending argument.
Sure. Hey, speaking of free speech.
Yes.
Today is a special day for free speech.
Ooh, is that the Supreme? Well, you saw the Supreme Court rulings the other day.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
Because today, Facebook is launching a competitor to Twitter.
Oh, that's not free speech, though. I think that's why Twitter will win.
No, it's news, though. It's interesting free speech news. So you guys know that Elon Musk bought Twitter, and he's like, hey, we're going to do free speech. And a lot of people are like, that just means hate speech. You're a white supremacist. And then they've been hating on Twitter, but then they can't leave because there's no other place to go. And they've tried to launch a few other competitors, and they haven't really taken off, like Mastodon and a couple others.
Truth Social.
Truth Social, right. So Twitter persists, right? And then, today, the only person that could conceivably launch a competitor, which is the Meta, which is Facebook, launched a competitor today, and like tens of millions of people are going there today. And I think that this is a genuine risk to Twitter. I truly do. I think this is a genuine threat to Twitter.
I don't.
So let's talk about it. Tell me about what you think.
I think Twitter. Okay, so let me ask you a let me ask you a question that should relate.
Okay.
Is Google a threat to Apple?
Oh, a tangential question.
Tangential, yes.
Is Google a threat to Apple? Yes. They're competitors.
They're competitors, but they're not a threat. And here's the reason. Google is a software company. They're not known for their hardware. Apple is a hardware company. Because of that, Apple has created a different kind of a product.
Yeah.
One of the things that they've staked out is we're the privacy company.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a big deal. And lots of people go there because there's a privacy. Like they can't get to your data. They don't want your data. Google wants your data.
Okay? Yeah, I get it.
So in that same vein, I really do think that Twitter has, strangely, right? Because all the controversy over, throttling different groups' ideas and stuff like that started on Twitter. And then Elon Musk takes it over and he says this will be a free speech space.
Yeah. So
whether you want it to be or not.
Like, I truly agree. I truly agree that in a vacuum, hey, we're the free speech platform or we're the polite platform. Like, the free speech is going to win all day. I believe that.
Yep.
But I don't believe it's in a vacuum. Right now, the media, the news media on the left, hates Elon Musk and they hate Twitter, and they're advocating openly in op-eds and everything else the death of Twitter, and they couldn't plausibly steer you anywhere else until today. And I think that because their thumb is on the scale, we're not in a vacuum, and that's why I think it's a risk.
Well, I don't think that Facebook is going to fail at this. I think it will be successful. It's kind of like Disney doing Disney Plus, right?
Will it be successful, though?
To an extent that, I mean, they've got a problem because it's going to eat their other platforms. That's always been their problem. Like, they bought Instagram and it started eating Facebook.
Yeah.
And so they have a problem with the three platforms kind of going to be, simultaneously existing. The other thing that Elon's doing is who's the other one he's going after?
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. I think he's going to win. I think YouTube. I think YouTube is such a behemoth, but I think there's definitely a space. Like, look, you don't have to.
So what you're saying is that innovation on Twitter is going to protect Twitter from competition on Facebook.
Correct.
And on YouTube.
Correct.
I think that's the strongest case. I don't think it's a strong case to just say, Nah, people love Twitter because people openly don't.
I actually don't like Twitter.
Yeah, but I do think you can say something about the innovation because everyone's like the new features are dumb. I'm like, no, they're not. Like to have unlimited length videos and to have super long tweets for subscribers and to have paid subscriptions, like those are great innovations. That means content creators can legitimately launch there and make a business there and just live there forever.
Correct.
Like that's a great innovation.
Correct.
And Facebook, by the way, somehow has avoided getting into the we'll pay anybody else wars at all. Like they have all these products where they could really do a great job and they don't. Like YouTube pays creators. TikTok pays creators. Facebook doesn't pay anybody. Like as far as I know, they don't pay creators.
No.
And so the idea that that's going to keep creators going to Twitter, but man, the leftist media couldn't be happier. I mean, yeah, they couldn't
be
happier.
Here's the deal. Like,
and they're going to lord it up like crazy. And they're going to be follow us on Threads.
What's
like
the most
they're going to go so
like,
hard
in the 80s. Who, if I say, what's the most powerful companies industry in America? Do you what would you have said
in the 80s?
Yeah, 80s, 90s,
like defense contractors and stuff like that.
I probably use auto or oil.
Oh, probably. Right? Oh, yeah, that's true.
What would like auto and oil like join up to kill? Electric
cars. Yeah.
Okay. So what is trending? Electric cars. I mean, you basically Tesla is beyond failure now, right? 10 years
feels
ago,
like, it feels like they're kind of inevitable, and they keep yep. smacking down the competition in electric, like beating them hard.
Yeah. You want to see the most interesting part is Tesla is probably the most American-made vehicle.
Yeah.
There's nothing more American than Tesla. And so if you're looking for innovation, you're looking at, look, I love my Tesla. It's not to save the world, guys. I don't think it's saving anything other than my pocketbook in the sense that electric is a whole lot cheaper to fill my car with, number one. Number two, it's so much more convenient. And number three, it's a freaking fun car to drive. And that's what he said. If
so
you're going to make a car.
If he makes Twitter fun.
Correct.
Like here's the other thing that people aren't talking about.
Fun and free.
Everyone wants the more polite Twitter. Until some important, like controversial thing happens, and then the other side, the other team picks sides, and you're like, well, I want to know what both sides are saying. Then you have to go to Twitter. Then, boom, that's a guaranteed safety space.
Yeah. So
you know
I mean, do I think that they're going to do okay? Yeah, they'll do okay. Do I think that the media helping them is going to help them? Yeah, I think it'll help them. But at the end of the day, do I think Twitter dies because of it? No, I think that you know the X app, which is what Elon's really aiming for. I think is a viable and legitimate goal, and you know he's a winner. I never would have said this ten years ago, but
like his rockets are crazy, and his cars are good.
He knows how to pick things that, and he knows how to find the problem and give the solution that people are willing to pay for.
Well, so if what you're saying is true, and I'm an optimist, and I like to be. I do think that direct competition will refine his vision and will make him pursue the most commercial version of Twitter soonest. Because the one thing that he doesn't have going for him is he doesn't have publicly traded money to waste on Twitter. And so like he's incentivized to be profitable soon.
Yeah, but I also don't think like it's kind of like SpaceX, right? SpaceX, if you ever listen to him, he's like SpaceX has almost died so many times. But it's kind of like that. I don't think he's in any way a shortage for people giving him money to do stuff.
Well, I hope so. Friends, this has been a patriotic, innovation-based episode of the Waystation Podcast, your source for life hacks, social commentary, and amazing stories.
I'm William.
I'm Randy. Have a good day.